If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 105. Psalm 105 is the history of God's work with the Jewish people. It's an amazing story when you look at what God was doing throughout all history. And I want to say something to you today. God is still working on me, and God is still working on you. And all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. And when we are called according to God's purpose, and his purpose is simple, it is to make us like Jesus. That's his desire for us, is that each of us become like Jesus. And God is a great planner. He has planned from before the foundations of this world your life and my life. Before we were ever known, before this world was, God knew you. And he has planned to bring you into the fullness of Christ. And as God works in each of our lives to bring us into the fullness of Jesus Christ, he is also working in the body, the church, to bring the church into the fullness of the bride of Jesus Christ. So that when God is working on you, he's also working on the church. And when God is working on the church, he's also working on you. So in the book of Psalm 105, it says this. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, and ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth. Dropping down to verse 15, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you speak a word to our hearts today that will help us to live this life this week that you're calling us to live? A life, Lord God, that will walk in your spirit and be so filled with your presence that, Father, we will see the hand of God at work. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Did you ever stop to think that God always knows where you are? He always knows what you're doing. He is never late to any appointment with you. He always is exactly on time. And all things in the life of a believer are part of the plan of God. It's an amazing thing to realize that God knows me and he knows all about me. He has the hairs of my head numbered. Not so hard these days. He knows every breath that I take. In fact, he gives me my breath. He knows everything that I'm going through. And in all of it, he has a plan. He has a plan that he is working out for the not only for my good, but for his glory. And not only is he doing it for my good and his glory, he's doing it for the church. To make the church, which is a body of all of us who God is working on, all of us who God is planning, he works it all together and makes it work out so that the church becomes the bride of Christ, the fullness of Jesus. So stop and look at our friend Joseph. I love Joseph. He's probably one of my very favorite Bible characters. He, along with Benaiah, you may never have heard of Benaiah, but he's another one of my favorites. But look at Joseph. You know, Joseph and Daniel are two men that there's nothing recorded of them of major sin in their life. Doesn't mean they didn't have a problem. Joseph had a little problem with pride, which is a major problem. And But God was working on that to make of him something that nobody had a dream of. Go back with me, if you will, to the tents where Jacob lives. And here's Jacob, and his sons are all there. And Jacob's sons, 10 of them, are a trial and a burden to him. Two of them he loves dearly. That creates a problem. How many of you know when a father has a favorite, it creates problems. It creates problems in everybody else in the family. And Joseph is without question the apple of Jacob's eye. He loves that boy so much. And you know the story how one day for his birthday, he decided to have a beautiful coat made for him, a coat made out of many colors. And that coat was just the most beautiful thing. And he offers it to his son and he says, "Son, I'm giving you this coat." It was also a mark that he was being set above his brothers. It was a mark that he was being shown more favoritism than his brothers were being shown. And his brothers reacted to it exactly as you would expect them to react. Anger, hatred came into their heart. Joseph was a son that any father would be proud of. He would do his father's will. He worked for his father. But in all of these things, one day he had a dream, you remember? And in this dream, he came downstairs. He came downstairs. He really didn't. He just came out of another area of the tent. We come downstairs sometimes from in the morning. He just came out of another area of the tent. And when he came out of the tent, he says, "I had a strangest dream last night." Don't you hate it when people tell you their dreams? And they go on and on about it. Well, they didn't like this dream either. He said, "I dreamed that we were all out in the field and we were setting our sheaves up." Now, you are farmers, know that they would take the grain and they would take a bunch of that grain and they would wrap it around a larger bunch. And then they would set it and they would set them till they set. You go through Amish country and you see the sheaves all set up in the fall. And he said, "We were all out there and we all had our own sheaf of grain." And he said, "All of a sudden, would you believe it? All of your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf." Oh, that made him popular. That really made him popular. A few days later, he comes out. He says, "I just had another dream." He said, "I dreamed that we all were stars in the sky, and the sun and the moon and all of your stars bowed down to my dream." Well, that sort of had Jacob a little upset. And Jacob said, "Do you mean you think that your mother and I are going to bow down to you?" Well, the boys go off. Joseph stays at home. And one day his father says, "Son, I want you to go out and see how the sheep are doing. And I want an account of what's going on." And Joseph says, "Sure, father, I'll do it." And he goes wandering to where he thinks his brothers are. They're not there. He sees a stranger standing there and he says, "Have you seen my brothers?" He said, "They're feeding their sheep over in Dothan." And so he goes over. All of a sudden, his brothers look up and they see him coming. Here comes that braggart. Here comes that favorite son. "I wish he were dead. I would just like to, I'd kill him if I, oh, don't talk like that. Oh, you think dad's going to let us have our place? He's going to set that kid over top of us. I think we ought to kill him." And Reuben says, no, we can't do that. And they said, "Well, let's put him in a pit." So they dropped him down in this pit. Now, I don't know if you know anything about pits in the desert, but more than likely there are snakes down in there. It's not a pleasant place to be. And he cries out, "Brothers! Brothers! Help me! Let me out! Just stay there. Do you see our sheaves bowing down to you now? Can you see the stars up there? Are our stars bowing down to you? Brothers! Let me out! I'll tell father. You know what father will do." Oh, that really helped him. They're about ready to kill him when all of a sudden they see some travelers coming along. "Hey, why kill him? There's nothing in that for us. Besides, he's our brother. We won't have our brother's blood on us. Let's sell him. 20 pieces of silver change hands. They're dragging him up out. Thank you, brothers, for bringing me out. Thank you. Thank you. I want to go home. You're not going home, brother. We sold you. The Bible says they put irons on his feet. And he cried, brothers, don't do this. Brothers, don't do this. And as they are going away and those Midian men are leading him away, he's crying out, brothers, brothers, don't do this to me. Brothers, help me. And the sound rings in their ears for years, rings in their ears. Now, I said that God is always working and that everything is a part of his plan. Could this possibly be a part of God's plan? Well, we've read the end of the book, and we know it is. We know that God did not fail him. We know that God did not desert him. We know that God literally has taken this young man, and he has allowed him to go into slavery. He's allowed this to happen. And they are dragging him off down to Egypt. Why? Because God has a plan. And God is making of this shepherd boy a great statesman. That doesn't come easily. He's put on the slave block and sold. How degrading that was. How humbling that was. You see, Joseph can never truly be used of God until his spirit is humbled. How many of you know pride goes before a fall? It goes before destruction. Pride will ruin you. God had to take me halfway around the world to deal with that issue of pride in my life. God will always deal with it one way or another. I don't ever want to go through again what I had to go through to have God deal with that issue in my life. But God will humble us. Why? Because God gives grace to the humble. The proud, he will humble. He'll humble. But when we're humbled, he can raise us up. And Joseph is humbled. Potiphar looks on. Now, Potiphar is sort of the general of the army, right hand to Pharaoh. And Potiphar looks on and says, I'll take that one. And he buys him. And there he is, now a slave in a rich man's house. Why? Well, he's got to learn management. He doesn't know anything about management. He is in God's Bible school. Can I tell you that? Joseph is in God's Bible school from the moment that he's born until he reaches the pinnacle of his. He is in God's Bible school, and God is training him. And he begins to take over the household of Potiphar. Everything that he touches turns to gold. Everything that he touches is blessed. And Potiphar sees it and elevates him until he becomes the top slave in the whole household. In fact, everything is given over to Joseph's hands. Joseph is so meticulous in his books. He's so meticulous in his care that Pharaoh doesn't even have to keep track of the books. He's there. He's managed. He has reached the pinnacle, right? I'll tell you something. God has a trampoline. When you think you're down, he'll bring you up. But he'll always take you back down again because he wants to bring you higher. And to bring us down, to get you higher. And so the next thing you know, Potiphar's wife comes along and says, well, you're a good-looking dude. Why don't you come and sleep with me? And he resists that. He does everything God would have him do. He stands against temptation. How many of you know there's temptation when you get into high political place? Just listen to all the stories that come out. There's huge temptation. God is testing him. The Bible says, until his word tried him, tested him. The word of God tested him before he could. God could no more have taken David and put him on the throne from the shepherd's field and put him on the throne and had him be a good king than he could have taken Joseph from the shepherd's field and put him as Prime Minister of Egypt without training. There's always training in our life. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes we think, God, I can't stand this. Have you ever been through something that you got through it and you think, Lord, I'm so thankful to be through it, and I realize I've learned things that were well worth it, but God, I don't ever want to have to go through that again. Yeah. Been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt. There's some things that I don't ever want to have to go through again. But I'll tell you this, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. That's his plan. He's still working on Joseph. Potiphar's wife says, come, sleep with me. He runs away. She grabs his cloak, lays it up until Potiphar comes home. And she said, that slave that you brought into our house, that slave, he did terrible things. And she puts this lie out. Now, normally speaking, if a slave did that, he would be killed. That would just be it. Potiphar understands his wife, realizes that his wife is not all she's cracked up to be. So he has him thrown into Pharaoh's prison. Do you ever ask yourself, why Pharaoh's prison? If he's going to be prime minister, he has to understand political intrigue and political science. What better place to learn it than in Pharaoh's prison, where all of the politicians that have gone wrong are thrown in there, and he has got there to manage it. When you're going to be a manager in a kingdom like Egypt, you've got to know how to deal with the lowest scum of the highest echelons. We got some of that in our own country. Had to learn it. And so he's thrown into prison, and in prison, again, he has a dream. Well, he doesn't have it. He's had dreams. He probably had some there too. But then the baker and the butler are there, and they each have a dream, and he interprets the dreams. So the baker said, I've had a dream. The butler said, I've had a dream. Can you interpret it for us? He said, only God can interpret dreams. But what was your dream? Well, the butler said, I saw this cluster of grapes, and it grew, and I took the grapes off. There were three clusters of them, and I squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup back to Pharaoh. Now, that was really what he was. He was the wine tester. And Joseph said, the three clusters are 3 days. In 3 days, you will be raised up, and you will again become the wine taster for the king. Wow. The baker looked at that and said, that was pretty good. I had a dream too. I dreamed I had three baskets of bread on my head, and those three baskets were there. But then he said, all of a sudden the birds came and they started eating them up. And Joseph said, well, your dream means this. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, the king's going to take your head off. That's what the birds of the air were. And when they're taking the butler out, as they're going out, Joseph says, remember me when you get before Pharaoh. Remember me. Can I tell you, if you'd have said to Joseph, Joseph, you are where you are because God has put you there, he would have had a hard time believing that. It would have been hard to believe it. Why would God make me a prisoner of Pharaoh? Why, when I did what was right all along, I resisted Pharaoh's wife. I tried to be honest with my father. Everything I've done has gone wrong. Everything I've done has turned backwards. Ever been there? Where everything you've done seems to have gone the wrong way. God's still working on you to make you what you ought to be. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. 2 years go by. Pharaoh has a dream. It bothers him. None of his wise men can understand it. But somebody, it happens to be the butler, remembers when I was in disgrace, he hates to even mention it, to bring it back to the king's mind, there was a man in prison that interpreted it for me. The word of God is still trying Joseph. Joseph is brought out, brought before the king, before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I've had a dream. He said, what was your dream? He said, well, I saw these fat, wonderful cows. There were seven of them. And they were wonderful, fat, wonderful cows. And then all of a sudden there were these seven skinny, horrible, awful, ugly cows. And these awful, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows, but they were still as skinny as they were before. Joseph said, was there another dream? Well, yeah, there was. There were seven wonderful spears of wheat. They were beautiful. It was just rich and full. And then there was these horrible seven ugly sheaves of wheat. And they ate up the first ones and they were still as bad as ever. What does it mean? Can I tell you something? Graduation day has come. It was a long schooling. It was a hard schooling. It was not a wonderful time. It was a very difficult time. But graduation came. Can I tell you, graduation always comes if you're walking in the Spirit. And he's made prime minister of the whole land. You see, it says that Pharaoh had him in prison until the word of God tried him, made him to be the man that could rule in the land. Stop and think. What has gone on in your life that was difficult and hard? He's not done with you yet. I've been to God's Bible school, not the one in Cincinnati. I've been to God's Bible school on a Greyhound bus. I've been to God's Bible school in churches. I've been to God's Bible school in Indonesia. I've been to God's Bible school in a lot of different places. And every time God's going to use me in a new way, I go through a wilderness experience. Look at the Word of God. Jesus, filled with the Spirit at his baptism, comes up out of the waters of baptism. Hear what happens from heaven. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. He is now a man who has the word of God the Father. You are my beloved Son. I am well pleased with you. The Spirit of God comes and fills him. What is the first thing that happens to him? Well, he goes out and works miracles. No, that's not the first thing. Luke chapter 4 says, and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil for 40 days. But if you read to the 14th verse, it says, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. You see, the wilderness is always the testing, trying place. We don't like the wilderness. I always thought the wilderness was like the Adirondack Mountains. I love the Adirondacks. I've gone back into those Adirondack Mountains and just had a wonderful time. Took a youth group back there. My wife and I were back in the Adirondacks many years ago and we were walking up this trail. One of the rangers came down the trail. And he says, where are you headed? I told him where we were going. He said, you're going the wrong way. I said, no. He said, yes, you are. He said, you want to go that way? I said, no, it's this way. And my wife is saying, you're arguing with the ranger. I was right. because there was only one way to go to that. And I said, were you off the trail? He said, yeah. I said, where'd you come back on? He said, here. I looked at his map. I said, no, you came back on here. He said, well, I am from the next range up there. But you see, that's not the kind of wilderness it was. A wilderness with trees and lakes and wild animals. And it was a place with snakes and scorpions and no water and dryness and rocks and thistles. And it was an ugly place. And your wilderness almost always is an ugly place. But he brings you out into a new life. Richer, fuller, deeper. Amen? Bow your heads with me, please. How many of you would say, Pastor Dick, I have been going through a wilderness, and I believe that God has a plan, and I accept today that he's still working on me. May I see your hands so I can pray with you? Yes. I see many hands. Yes. We do go through wildernesses. We do. But God has a plan in the wilderness. He has not forsaken you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He said, I've got something new planned for you in your life. Something rich, something sweet, something good. I don't know what that is. Sometimes he gives it to us here, sometimes in heaven. But he's preparing us to be a child of the King. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise. Lord, it is our desire to be like Jesus. Help us, Lord, I pray, to realize that you're always working on us and you never leave us, you never forsake us. That in the midst of our hardest battles, you're there. And you will speak your word to us. Sometimes, Lord, we know that we're in that hard place and we can't find you. We can't hear your voice. We can't get anything that ministers to us. But Lord, you're still there because you promised and you cannot lie. You are God and you cannot lie. And sooner rather than later, we will come out into the sunshine because your plan is a good plan. In Christ's name. Amen.